for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? And why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Amen.
Amen. A long passage. Thank you, Vicky. Okay. Good morning, the World Church family, and we continue in our Battle of the Mind series, and today we're looking at depression from Psalm 42. The subject matters that we've covered so far has been anger, anxiety, and last week Clive preached on fear. And today, we're going to be looking at three areas of suffering depression that has over our lives. So, one, the effect that depression has on our bodies. Also, the effect it has on our bodies through our minds. And what does that effect have on us spiritually? Depression is the number one mental health issue in the world today. And over 300 million people suffer with depression or live with some kind of anxiety disorder. And closer to the UK, one in five confess to have suffered with depression or some form of anxiety. But you know what? I have to say to you guys, I would conclude that COVID... Can you turn me down a bit? I'm sounding a bit... I'm ringing... I would say that COVID has probably perpetuated some of that issue significantly. And some stats on antidepressants. You know, in 1991, what was prescribed was about like 9 million. In 2012, 47 million. In 2016, 64 million. And in 2017, 67.5 million. And those figures are still rising. And I think that COVID has not only compounded the issue even more, adding to our stress and our anxiety in our relationships, family, marriages. I would even add that that burden is significantly hitting our children. Now, coming out of lockdown, we seem to have another phenomenon that's hitting us, and that is institutionalized lockdown, you know, where people are just tentatively trying to step out, they're trying to go somewhere, no, not yet. And maybe that's just going to take time to come back to some kind of new reality. Now, there are seven major types of depression: major depression disorder, atypical disorder, persistent depression disorder, bipolar depression, postpartum depression, and premenstrual dysphoric disorder, and seasonal affectiveness disorder. I suppose that's kind of the winter blues one. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about depression, and it's one of the Bible's major themes. Now, for me, it all came to a head when, at some time last year, when I was trying to lead worship from home on Zoom in our living room, and my guitar string snapped, which was rather ironic because things had snapped for Denise, my wife. And to be honest, I hadn't really recognized the signs of what was happening. And also add to the mix of that, a traumatic time with a next door neighbor who was suffering from their own mental health issues as well. Now, I knew we were under pressure, but I didn't realize the toll that things were having on Denise as we became foster carers and looking after our grandchildren and balancing their needs without any respite care, as we were literally cut off from any form of support during that lockdown period. We were just left to get on with it. That all came to a head, and then family members had to step in. And I found myself having to speak to leadership, Clive, and saying, look, this is my predicament, this is the situation I'm in. Can we sort out some sort of solution? Now, we see in Psalm 42 that the psalmist is having a major depressive episode. And he describes the depression in two ways. One, it's a drought. And two, he's drowning. I wonder how many of us can identify with that, right? The word psalm means song. And in the ancient world, songs were written and given to the worship leader to sing these songs out and with the congregation. And it was a regular practice up until the New Testament. Now, imagine looking at verse 10 in 42. You imagine us singing this. As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while saying to me all day long, where is your God? So if I was going to sing that line, as we were breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. Well, I'll try. That ain't working, is it? Let me try that again. So I picked out this line as specifically for you. Now, I really had to work this out. So, as with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while saying to me all day long, where is your God? Now, if we went around singing that, you know, who would be following that through? No. The psalmist, severe depression episode, drought and drowning. Now, my sister suffers from the occasional psychotic episodes, and she often describes the feeling of numbness, not having any feeling. But I also think that is coupled with taking some drugs as well. You know, you can't mix medication. And so if you're supporting a friend or a family member, it's really important to let them get these feelings out and express them. You know, we lead by listening, by being that part of the community. You know, we can't solve the issue for them. You know, we like to often fix it and get the solutions. They just want to talk these things through. You know, we have to be able to listen and read between the lines. What are they saying? What does God want you to discern? Now, let me just say, as a disclaimer, we believe in doctors and consultants and medical staff. And you know what? They do an amazing job. We know that God can heal instantly, and we believe that in faith. But also, God uses the medical profession to heal as well. And also, you know, there is that medical imbalance on the brain sometimes. And there are many high-functioning individuals holding down and coping, you know, coping with their jobs, with everyday life, who suffer from some form of disorder and have to take prescribed medicines for their condition. So now, back to the psalmist. Verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Not only is this drought, but dry, and in a desert and a wasteland, wilderness. And that drowning sensation that he's feeling in verse 7, deep calls to deep unto the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Sorrow after sorrow after sorrow. And I remember a time in my walk with the Lord. And I don't really remember the situation, but I remember it because I remember saying something quite sad. And, it was so dark and despairing. And I think I was in Penn Street. I can't really remember. But I said these words, and I remember this in prayer, in crying in my tears and tasting the salt tears, you know, as your food, really. And I just thought, Jesus, and I declared this, I spoke it out. I said, Jesus, if you died for me, you know what? It wasn't really worth it, man, you know? It wasn't worth it. If you died for me, it wasn't worth it. But seriously, if you died for me, it wasn't worth it. That affected me big time. You may be asking, well, isn't the Christian life supposed to be about joy, fun, laughter? The Lord is my strength. Count it pure joy. You know, trials, tribulations, you know, fully convinced, fully persuaded, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God, not life, not death, demons, angels, demons, you know what Paul says? Listen, I agree with all that. And that is correct. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. However, God didn't say that the Christian walk was going to be a walk in the park. There will be mountaintop experiences. There will be euphoric moments. But there will also be low moments. There will be those down in the valley moments. Highs and lows, ebbs and flows. You know, Psalm 23 talks about leads me beside still waters, but also leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. And I just want to say, if you're a Christian here and you are struggling with depression or some sort of childhood trauma or related trauma now through the pandemic, whatever it is, I want you to know that Jesus cares, he sees, and he knows. You need to hear that right now. This is not a reflection of who you are or a person or your faith. There are no second-class Christians in the kingdom of God. Some of the great heroes of faith have struggled and battled with depression. John Piper, Spurgeon, Catherine Kuhlman. You see, it kind of goes back to that the garden, Adam and Eve, original sin, that fall from grace. And then was passed down. Banishment, separation, darkness. What was a walk in the garden of light turns out to be expulsion and darkness, and cursed is the ground. Now, you know what? I've often wondered about this. If Adam had refused to eat the apple, do you think the balance would have been kind of restored a bit? You know, I'm not saying anything, ladies. I'm just saying, you know, maybe. I don't know. Instead, he took it on the chin, didn't he? And there was a portioning of blame. It was that. Yeah, so outer darkness, internal separation. Listen, I want to be where God is, not where God isn't. You know, is it eternal separation or eternal exaltation? Not weeping or gnashing of teeth. As I was saying, there was that particular moment in my life as a Christian, and I was experienced that period. And, you know, that overwhelming sense of despair that comes over you, and you're surrounded. Now, in verse 9, the psalmist identifies with us. Why have you forgotten me? I'm lost. I'm abandoned. I can't hear you. As Veronica was saying, God, are you still there? Do you still want to use me? What's going on? Hello? God does understand the state, your stress and your anxiety. And we need to be understanding of others and give them that space as well. Now, let me just say that, for the record, there may be some of you who remain upbeat and have had a very positive outlook on life and are encouraged and blessed in life and maybe thriving instead of surviving. Let me not take anything away from you guys. You're blessed, flavored, favored. Hallelujah. But there are others where the glass half empty scenario, you know, that's just the reality of life. And we all have different personalities. We all have different backgrounds. And we've grown up in different environments. Depression is a huge area. And addressing that chemical imbalance by seeking medical attention is key for some types of recovery. We welcome the help of the medical profession. But there may be some other contributing factors which really affect our mental health or our depression. For instance, like a poor diet, isolation, lack of exercise, unhelpful sleep patterns, alcohol, and side effects to other medications. Proverbs 25 talks about unhealthy foods. Ephesians 5 talks about don't get drunk on wine. 1 Timothy 4, physical exercise has some value. Our bodies, remember, they're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 5, verse 3, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. We work from rest, not rest from work. Normal waking hours, morning, noon, and night. Now, I know some suffer from types of insomnia, and yeah, that must be really hard. But in verse 4, the psalmist reminds us, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. Now, he's talking about what we're doing right now as we gather together, meeting. It was a lifeline for him. You see, no man or woman is an island. We're not meant to live in isolation. The psalmist is saying, you know the thing that cheered me up? You know the thing that got me through in my community was attending my Saturday morning prayer meeting or my midweek home group. We saw Angela last week in the midst of her grief and loss of her sister's passing, came to church. That took courage, that took strength, and gave that, and even came down and gave a word, a powerful word. Now, I know in some of our cultures, some may not have done that. We all need community. We all need God. God is community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, there are people who love spending time with people and are energized, and some who need to draw away. You know, some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts. And if you're supporting a member of your family or a friend who is suffering from maybe that situation or whatever it is, the depression, you being community to them is really important. In some way, shape, or form. Going to them, maybe suggest to them, go to them, go for a walk, get some fresh air, be of service to that person. So another side effects of depression could be from combined medications. So we've covered those things that can affect our body through depression. Now let's look at what affects our well-being by what we take in through our minds that affects the body. What I mean is those messages that we receive. Let me ask you, what music are you listening to? What TV programs are you watching? What books are you reading? What's on your Netflix favorites? Is it dark? What about social media? Can that be something that's contributing to your depression? Me and my friend Lloyd, we was talking about it the other day. Yes, another Lloyd. And we were discussing this and that how people put their best lives on screen and flicking through, but you really don't know what's going on behind there, you know? And some of those families that you see and it looks all rosy, and there may be people here who want to be in a family, and that may be contributing. The loneliness. Sometimes, you know, you've got to watch your habits or your habits will watch you. Dare I mention pornography? The reality of pornography is that the cycle of shame and isolation, it leads to depression, and you're not able to break free from that cycle of addiction. I say anyone struggling with any addiction, actually, I say, Lord, break them free. Whatever it is, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command those addictions to be broken in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible calls us to short accounts and to confess our sin, you know, to one another. Actually, find someone you can trust. It's not everybody you can go and say, you know what, I did, you know, because not everybody is sympathetic. Let me just say, and especially Christians, yeah? Okay, so so the psalmist reminds us that we do have a weapon with regards to these issues of depression. And in verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. We see two things that the psalmist is doing in this verse. He begins to fight. One, he's speaking to himself. All that woe in me. He decides that enough is enough. He says, soul, listen to me. Turn to your neighbor and say, soul, listen to me. Soul, listen to me. He challenges himself and the status quo that he is in, and the constant message going round in his head that just seems to be on repeat. You know those things, not good enough. No, I know the goodness of God in the land of the living. My past experiences reminds me how God has been good to me. I am alive. God has kept me. I'm alive today, even during this horrendous time. So he's speaking to himself. And secondly, he uses the written word of God, the authority of God. You know, even though he can't see it, even though it's not there, I can't feel it. But verse 11, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. I'm going to speak these words over myself. I got to proclaim it and declare it. I speak truth, life, not death. Just as you heard the guys last week and Clive proclaiming and declaring, we as individuals have to declare the promises of God over our own lives. Take hold of those promises. Even though we don't see it, we have to trust him. Now, I'm not advocating for name it or claim it or any get rich scheme, but there are God's promises over our lives that are yet to be fulfilled as a body, corporately, and individually. Incidentally, this verse is actually, is the actual chorus of the song. As it is mentioned twice, sing unto the Lord. These proclamations are important to get the word of God in you. The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for bringing down strongholds. Now, a fortnight ago, God touched our Saturday morning prayer meeting and there was like a mini outpouring on Clive, Colin, and Tony. And I was trying not to laugh. I'll be really honest with you. I was a little bit stush face, you know. But then I was like, oh, you know what? Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's more like it, Lord. Yeah, you know. And the mood is changing, you know. And I thought, wow, okay. I've had this for a long time. Yes, Lord. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Let me say that again. Most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. Now, this man's antidote in Psalm 42 was this. Instead of allowing the self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. So, listen to me. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He refocuses himself on the promise of God and confronts the fears and the contradictions deep down in his soul. He challenges his reality and the unbelief that's in his heart. It is the principle behind Romans 10. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And by hearing what? The word of God, right? Memorize scripture. Put it on your phone. Don't just Google it. Speak it out aloud. Say it over and over again. It's medicine for the soul. Now for the spiritual aspect. Verse 9. Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? The reality is, Almighty God in heaven loves you, loves me. But there is an enemy of your soul and my soul. And he hates God and he hates you and me. He will use discouragement, trauma, anything to continue that relentless attack on your body or on your mind. He will do anything to dampen the light of Christ in your life. Isaiah 61:3 says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, it may be in this time and season to approach leaders about praying for you or getting into some Zozo ministry headed up by Angela. I don't know, whatever it is. But the biggest instruction that the psalmist gives us in this scripture, and it's there about three times, go back home and pray, you know, and look at that, is praise. Sing to Jesus. There is nothing better for the soul than when we lift your voice in praise. Out of everything you hear this morning, please hear this. Sing to Jesus. Praise Jesus. No matter what the circumstance is. You know, my testimony before I became a worship leader, or even got into that, when I became a Christian, one thing I managed to do, and I don't know why, I think I was a clubber, really, you know, music. So you change one music thing to another, yeah? So I do know why. But, you know, when I was hearing those worship songs, you know, I was coming in my prayer time, I was just singing out them songs, and I was like, wow, you know, just singing them, and it became a part of my routine and daily practice. Cancel, yeah. 2 minutes, guys. Sam, do something with that phone, man, because it's just ringing, you know? So as I was saying, I love to worship. So it was part of my daily practice. And then, you know, I was doing this until one day, Julia said, you're going to be leading worship. And I went, what? You know, crazy. From a clubber to a worshiper. To lift the darkness of heaviness, the way is to praise, especially when you don't feel like it. In that moment, that's when it's the most beneficial. You know, we can all go, hallelujah, we're singing, we're worshiping, hey, right? You can all do that, right? But when you're down here, can we still raise our voice to worship? Now, it might be difficult in that situation. It might be dark, but you know what? You just utter two words, then the next word, and then the next phrase will come out, and then another, and before you know it, you're praising God. You know, as you break through that cloud, that massive darkness, the Holy Spirit will come with his joy, his peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, Colossians 3:15 reminds us. Lastly, I would like to add also that the psalmist's resentment and anger towards, why did you let this happen? We've all been there. Come on, let's be honest, yeah? Maybe in this season, things haven't gone your way. I know our holidays have been obliterated. I wanted to go to Jamaica, man. But, you know, that ain't like happening anytime soon, is it? Really? And if you was like me last year where you just felt a bit confused, like I was for a while, the psalmist articulates this so well. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Billows, a large undulating mass of something, a surge of rolling mass. Verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why? I won't say Delilah, stop that. Despite what you might think, God is not shocked or surprised by the psalmist's anger or prayer, because it's an anger prayer, or even the outburst. Why? Because like a loving father, he's able to understand the emotion and the sentiment behind the prayer. The Bible teaches us that we must come as we are. With all that hurt, with all that pain, I am your father, even through the darkness. But you may be saying, Lloyd, look, I've done all that, man. I've been faithful. I've served the Lord. And look. Well, you know, you may be in that situation where you're not getting out of bed. You feel useless, and you might be saying to yourself, I don't have much to offer God right now. Guess what? You weren't meant to, because Jesus became the offering on your behalf. One of Jesus's titles is a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He knew grief. He understood grief. He understood the darkness. From the garden to the cross, the night in Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood, the anguish, the agony, the darkest night of his soul. When Jesus was on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus experienced the darkest moment of his life while hanging on the cross, taking all our guilt, all our shame, giving up his life for us. Mark 15 portrays this darkness broke out over the land and affected the cosmos. From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, I thirst. My God, why have you forgotten me? Where is your God? Jesus was delivered into darkness so that through faith, that we would be delivered out of it. Jesus' head was anointed with blood so that our head would be anointed with oil. Jesus drank the cup of wrath so that our cup would overflow. But Jesus didn't stay in that dark place of the tomb, but he burst forth in resurrection light. King of glory, and faith through him, and joy unspeakable. The psalmist's worship leader describes how he went into the midst of the people and went to the house of God with joy and praise with the multitude. One day, Jesus will be leading us as we worship him on his throne, surrounded by his glory, no more tears, no more sorrows, life eternal forevermore. Former things have passed away, making all things new. Revelation 21. He will be the center of the universe, as we heard that word. Being the center. John 12:46. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Can we just stand? I'm just going to enter into a time of prayer. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I just thank you that, Lord, that you did burst through the darkness, that you did burst through the light. And Lord, I pray for any of those who are suffering from any form of depression, that, Lord, that you would just come. That you will come to each and every person right now listening to the sound of my voice. Lord, there's no shame. There's no shame. Take away the darkness, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over our congregation, over their hearts, their minds, their will, and their emotions. Lord, I ask that you will set them free. Set them free. Set them free, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, if you want to come down and receive prayer, we'll do it safely. Don't worry. We won't be breathing over you or coughing over you. You know, come down. I just feel that God really wants to meet with some of you this morning, with some of the situations that you are facing. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.